either or. But you see, God is so sovereign. There's not either or. God is still sovereign, even as those wicked schemes are going. Even with those things existing, hallelujah, God is still able to accomplish his plans. I'm trying to think of a good example on the spot. It's like this. A good football coach, excuse me if you're not American, hallelujah. All right. If you're a good football coach, you have your plays. You have your plans to win the game, right? You have a set of plans. You practice it with your team, right? And if the opponent does exactly what you predicted, then you're going to probably win that game because you got the plays to counteract all his plays, okay? But that's not the real world, right? When a coach steps out on the field, especially in a Super Bowl game, oh, hallelujah, what's that coach doing? He's got an opponent. And that opponent is switching things up on him. So he cannot properly predict everything that the opponent's going to do. But a good coach will still win. Hallelujah. Despite all that the other coach is trying to do. Hallelujah. All right. But except God is like a really, 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 really good coach. And, you know, because the coaches at the Super Bowl, they're kind of like equal. And then, like, the, you know, one with the less injuries and the less penalties wins or something like that. But with God, God is a really, really good coach, all right? And the devil is like, he's a decent coach, but he's not really that good. All right, I'm getting trapped with that analogy. I mean, don't think about that too much. You know, some people, they paint a picture of God being lovesick for his bride. Hallelujah. And I think you guys, some of you know, who preaches that, and you know, and I agree with that. God, there's a picture of God where he's lovesick for his bride, and he's like, why are you not living out and obeying the best plans? I offer you the best. I mean, if you look in Isaiah 48 verse 17, it says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. God has what is best for you. The best career, the best marriage. He has the best plans for you. That's his perfect will. But so many people, they go with their Ishmaels. They go with their own plans to the permissive will of God. But God offers you his best will. And that's why there's a picture of God who's lovesick for his bride. Why are you not taking my best for you? And I think there's a time and a place to preach that. But you know, if you see God in that picture, and that's the only picture you see of God, you need to read your Bible more. Because God is not a sad God, brothers and sisters. And God is not just an angry pizza God either. The picture of God that the Bible paints is a God who is full of joy and happiness. And he does things out of his pleasure. Hallelujah. God is not cornered, as some people see or think of. God is never cornered to do something he does not want to do. Everything he does is out of his good pleasure. When God sent his son into the world, he did it in his good pleasure. God didn't say, oh man, these wicked sinners, man, they mess everything up. Now I gotta... they're forcing me to send my son. Now he's got to die on the cross. And Jesus is like, oh, why do I got to do this? These imperfect sinners. Oh, man, look at them. I'm down here. I'm telling them I'm the Savior, and they still don't believe me. I got these 12 disciples. I spent 3 years with them. They still don't believe me. Still don't understand, right? No, that's not what he was doing. No. If you, at the baptism of Jesus, when he came up out of the water, the voice from heaven said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. It was God's good pleasure. And out of the good pleasure he had in his son, he sent his son in his good pleasure, in his joy, to redeem a people for himself that will live and worship the glory of his name. It says in the word of God that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And it says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus did not go to the cross grudgingly. He went there because of the joy that was set before him. He did it in his good pleasure. He went to the cross. Hallelujah. if you believe in the Reformed view of theology, he saw those who are his. And he was more than happy to die to bring them home, to atone for the sins of his people. I lay down my life for my sheep. Hallelujah. I know my sheep, Jesus said, and my sheep know me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm being dogmatic. This is one of my commitments, not to be dogmatic about teaching you about the Reformed theology. I'm sorry. I'm just preaching up here, and it's kind of coming out a little bit, and I apologize. Let me bless you again on your journeys to come to your own conclusions. Please, do not accept what I just say at face value. Search the scriptures, please. Hallelujah. Thank you. God is not lovesick only. You know, you ever see those Korean dramas? What do the girls do when they're lovesick, right? You ever see, what is it, Winter Sonata, 겨울의 연가? Was it 겨울의 연가? And 가을의 동화. In 가을의 동화, was it? Oh, no. Yeah. 겨울의 연가. There's the girlfriend, it was Song Seung-eun, right? The girlfriend of Song Seung-eun. You know, she's like, they were engaged. Oh, that's 가을의 동화. Oh, my bad. Man, why do they have to make the title so close? In autumn fairy tale, right? 가을의 동화. In 가을의 동화, Song Seung-eun's girlfriend, they're engaged, and then Song Seung-eun meets his childhood sister, who wasn't his biological sister, but he missed her so much that when they reunited, he started to fall in love with her. Okay, don't ask me why. Koreans just love this stuff. Okay, and the girlfriend of Song Seung-eun, he breaks off the engagement, or he tries to, right, and tries to start a relationship with his childhood sister, who is not his real sister. Anyway, and he does that. What happens? The girlfriend that was engaged to him, she gets lovesick. And like literally, she gets sick. She's in bed, and she can't eat. And the mother's like, what have you done to my daughter? You come to the hospital right now. And Song Seung-eun's like, oh, yeah. And then he goes to the hospital, and then he tries to like, what's wrong with you? You know, get better, you know. And then he tries to leave her one more time. And then what does she do? She goes onto the beach, right? And she starts walking into the water. Actually, in this episode, in this drama, she actually looks back. And then she sees Song Seung-eun coming. And then she starts walking in the water, right? Because she's like, oh, here he comes. Let me do it now. Right? But she's so lovesick, she tries to go into the water. I don't understand. Do Koreans really do this? Do they commit suicide by walking in the water? Because, you know, you probably wouldn't die. Because the waves would hit you back onto the shore, maybe. So if you're going to walk in the water, you know, I mean, do it while you're on a boat or something, you know. But not on the beach, like, you know. Anyway, they always got to have white, long dresses on for some reason. And then Song Seung-eun goes in and he holds her and says, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? And she's like, I can't live without you. And she's all lovesick. Okay. That is not our God. I mean, there's something wrong with... When I see those stories, man, and I'm sure stuff like that happens in real life. That's why Koreans put in the drama so much. I mean, there's something wrong with that girl. She's under bondage. I mean, come on. He don't want to love you. He doesn't really truly love you back. Why would you want to just stay with him? Well, a person that doesn't truly love you. All right? Man, she needs some deliverance. But God is not like that. Right? God is a God who pursues us in his love. Hallelujah. But he's a happy God. Right? Let's say he calls you. Even today, he starts to beckon you. He says, come on to me. Come, know my love deeper and deeper. And you say, oh, that's nice. But no, thank you. God's not going to get all worried. I'm like, oh, I wonder when my daughter, you know, oh, I'm getting sick. Oh, I feel a headache coming on. You know? No, God's not worried like that. Right? Because God is overflowing with his joy, with his purpose, with his pleasure, with his plans. Even though you might say no today, he has a plan that will bring you surely onto his heart. Hallelujah. God is a happy God. God says in Isaiah 48:12, I am the first and the last. Hallelujah. God is outside of time. And therefore, he makes known the end from the beginning. But not as a predictor, as a planner. Hallelujah. So Psalm 135:6 says, all that the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. You know, God does everything out of his good pleasure and delight. He cannot be kept back from doing what he delights most to do. And he cannot be forced to do what he does not delight in. And this is true everywhere. That's why it says here in the Psalm 135, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. I mean, that pretty much covers everything. Hallelujah. You know, if you ever go on the internet and you do a search of a movie that you're interested in, right? A very professional review will tell you at the beginning of the review, right? Movie spoiler contained, right? What does that mean? There's a trailer. Trailers just give you a tease of what the movie's about. But a spoiler, what the guy is saying is, in this review, I have put the ending of the movie. If you don't want to ruin your experience of the movie, then don't read the review. All right? But some people still read it. And they go, oh, no! Ah, the ending's in here! It says it on the top. Spoiler contained. Warning. Spoiler contained. Right? And if you think about it, this is kind of like what God does. When he makes known the end from the beginning, God is just like dropping movie spoilers to you guys. He's like spoiling your life, right? You know? You will accomplish these mighty acts in the industry of music. You will do these things in the realm of law. You will do these things in international relations. You will do these things in full-time ministry. Right? When he makes known the end from the beginning, it's like a movie spoiler. And some people might be like, why would God do that? You know? I mean, if you watch a movie and you read a spoiler before a movie, it ruins your entire experience. So you might think, well, why would God do that with my life? Why is God ruining my life? Why is he spoiling my life by telling me what's to come? Just let me live my life and may I discover what's coming up every week. Why is he got to tell me things way into the future? Why does God make known the end from the beginning? Ask your neighbor that. See if they know. Why does God make known the end from the beginning? Why does God make known the end from the beginning? There's four reasons that I'm going to give you today. Number one is to cast down all idols. If you look in Isaiah 47, the next chapter, verse 13, it says, all the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. You know, those horoscopes in 17 Magazine or Cosmopolitan or in your newspaper? Don't read them. They are not for the people of God. I mean, some people, man, they just read it religiously. They read it all the time. And you know what? It could be turned into a form of bondage. Because what those people are doing is they're making predictions based on the stars. Based on counseling the stars, and in a way, worshiping the stars. And it's a subtle form of idolatry. And so they're trying to get you to read, get you to believe it, and get you to live by it. Okay? This is forbidden for the people of God. Okay? And all that time you spent reading horoscopes, if you just read the Bible, you will receive counsel far greater for your life. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them, stop reading them horoscopes. look in verse 9. It says, Psalm 47:9. It says, both of these will overtake you in a moment on a single day, loss of children and widowhood. They will come upon you in full measure in spite of your many sorceries and all your potent spells. You know, there are real Harry Potters out there in this world. And they have real sorcery powers. And they cast real spells. Okay. If you study deliverance ministry, you know that in some countries, they do those love potions or those love spells. And literally, they work. A person is in love with some person, some girl or some guy, trying to make that guy fall in love with her. What does she do? She consults a sorcerer, a witchcraft, a person who practices witchcraft. Gets them to put a love spell on that guy. And that guy has no interest in this girl. And all of a sudden, he's stalking her. And he can't stop. Why is stuff like that happen? Because people have real powers. Okay. But there is no power greater than God's power. Amen? Greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. The devil, he flaunts his power and he has some measure of power. But God has all power. Hallelujah. The reason why God makes known the end from the beginning is to cast down all idols. You see, the devil can only make predictions to a certain accuracy level or to a certain time period in the future. But he cannot. He can make predictions, but he cannot make those things happen. Because it is God's plans that will stand. Amen? God makes known the end from the beginning to cast down all idols. So as men trust in idols, as men trust in horoscopes and tarot card readers and astrologers, and they go to sorcerers to gain power to accomplish the things that are on their heart. Hallelujah. And I believe some musicians, literally, they sold their soul to the devil to get power. Hallelujah. That's my theory. Okay, that's my theory. Okay, I'm standing with it. You know why? Jimi Hendrix died, 27. Janis Joplin died, 27. Buddy Holly died, 27. All sudden deaths. Some of the greatest musicians, if you study their life, right? Even Kurt Cobain. Okay, people might say he was a druggie, but he was one of the most incredible musicians that ever lived. Okay, died at a very young age. I mean, I think he was tortured by demons. Right? Some of the things that he was saying and he wrote, it wasn't just the drugs. He was tortured. He tried to end it by shooting himself. I think some people literally, they gain power, musical power, by making a contract with the devil. But Jesus said, what good is it for you to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? There's nothing in this world that the devil can offer you that is worth the price of your soul, brothers and sisters. You know, even as Christians, although you may not go to hell, you can still make contracts with the devil. And he can still have your soul. He may not take you into hell, but he can put you under bondage for all your lifetime. He can put your soul under bondage if you make deals with the devil, or if you seek powers and knowledge that are forbidden by God. That's called the occult. Anything that is occult is when you seek knowledge or power from a source other than God. That is occult. That's why tarot card readers are occultic sins. That's why if you go and you try to practice witchcraft, these are forbidden by God. Deuteronomy 18, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 20. Look in the scriptures. These are forbidden by God. Hallelujah. And you see, they have real power, they have real knowledge, but it can only go so far. Because God makes known the end from the beginning, and God eventually says, you see your idols, they cannot save you. You see your sorcerers and your powers, they cannot help you in the day of disaster. He makes known the end from the beginning to cast down all idols. That's number one. Number two. He makes known the end from the beginning to call his people to get involved. When God makes known the end from the beginning, that is his invitation for you to get involved. Look in verse 11, Isaiah 46:11. It says, from the east I summon a bird of prey. OK, Okay, I don't know what that means. I'm going to study the Hebrew later. Okay, I don't have time to study what that means. I will summon a bird of prey. Okay, Lord. That's one of those mysteries. Okay, I'm going to. Okay, I don't know what that means. All right, don't ask me about that. From the east, I summon a bird of prey, but it says, from a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. Hallelujah. I summon a man to fulfill my purpose. Hallelujah. When God makes known to you the end from the beginning, that is his summoning. That is his invitation for you to get involved with his purposes. Hallelujah. When God came to Moses, and God revealed to Moses the end from the beginning, and God said, I have heard my people, Israel, in Egypt. They are under slavery for many, many years. I have heard their cries, and I'm going to set them free. I will deliver them out, and they will worship me on this mountain. God made known to Moses the end from the beginning. And God, you know, God said that to Moses, and Moses is like, all right, God, that sounds like a great plan. All right, I'll see you later. Okay. God making that known was God's invitation to Moses to get involved with what God was about to do. You see, when I first came to Korea 3 years ago, Sister Hannah, you know, the one that moved in the gift of prophecy a couple of Friday fires ago, she came up to me and she was like, there's a dream. God gave me a dream, and I feel like God's putting on my heart to share that with you. And I believe you have a part to do with that dream. I'm not sure, but that's just me speaking. That's not prophecy. That's me speaking. But let me just tell you about this dream. And she said, in this dream, I saw revival coming to Korea, an incredible revival, and I believe it's not going to touch just South Korea, but North Korea as well. And she said, there's a revival coming to this nation. Hallelujah. A revival coming, and key players will be people from the outside. God's going to utilize people from the outside to make this revival happen. When she shared that with me, I didn't just applaud it and go, wow, that's a cool dream. I heard God speak right into my spirit. You hear about that? You're going to stay longer in Korea for 2 years? You're going to meet your wife here? No, she didn't say that. You're going to stay in Korea longer than 2 years? You're going to be part of that. I'm making known to you the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. And I want you to be part of this revival. And your measure of involvement will be in accordance to your measure of obedience and sacrifice. As you act in faith, you will be involved in this. And I just felt that right deep in my spirit, and I got all excited. I was like, wow, hallelujah. I thought I was here for some Campus Crusade conference, but you know what? God's got a bigger plan. Hallelujah. In that way, God made known the end from the beginning. When God came to Gideon, God made known the end from the beginning. He said, I will give victory to my people, mighty warrior. God was making known the end from the beginning, so that was God's invitation to Gideon. You lead this army. You take these people to fight. Hallelujah. And brothers and sisters, when God makes known to you the end from the beginning, sometimes that's God's invitation for you to get involved. You might be like, oh, that's nice, God. That's nice. I guess that's just coincidence. I happen to be here at the same time you're doing these things in this country. Open up your heart, because that may be God's invitation for you to get involved. Third reason why God makes known the end from the beginning is to call his people to hope in the Lord and wait upon him. Turn to Isaiah 40, verses 31 and 31. 30 and 31. Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. The passage reads, Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31 says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Hallelujah! Sorry, my spirit was rising up. Hallelujah. I got that mantle on right now. Hallelujah. That anointing to preach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this verse is saying, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Hallelujah. But not many people will hope in the Lord when they don't know, when their future is so uncertain. That's why God makes known the end from the beginning. so that you will wait on his plans, that you will put your hope in God for the plans that he revealed to you. Hallelujah. Way back when I was a junior year in New York University, God kept saying, you will meet your wife on the missions field. Your wife will be beautiful inside and out. And I said, hallelujah, amen, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. And when God said those things over me through the gift of prophecy, he made known to me the end from the beginning. And him doing that, it caused me to hope in God. So after that, I had different crushes, all right? I had crushes on girls, right? I think my whole life I've gone from one crush to another. I've just been going from one crush to another. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just exciting, you know, kind of. You know, you can go to a retreat for God, but you can also go to, you know, because she's going to be there. Oh, yeah, you know. Come on, y'all done that, the same thing, right? But even though I had those crushes and I would have the temptation, is she my wife? Is she beautiful inside out? Did I meet her in the mission field? I'd ask these questions. And if they were no, if I felt like God was saying no, or if I try to pursue a relationship and God started to put a block on those relationships, then I always remembered what he had revealed to me, what he had made known to me, the end from the beginning. I will remember that, and I will hope in him, and I will wait upon his plans. You see, if I didn't wait upon the plans of the Lord, if I didn't hope in God, you know, I might have just married just whoever I would have just married whoever. Hallelujah. Come on. There are people that marry whoever. All right? Now that you're married to whoever, you have to stay married to whoever. Okay? Come on. Not everybody. All right, let me just be real to you today. Not everybody follows God's perfect will for their marriage. Okay? Even ministers, even people in full-time ministry. All right. Sometimes I will meet a full-time minister, and I'm like, oh, nice to meet you. Hallelujah. This is my wife. Oh, hallelujah. And God would just be like, he wasn't supposed to marry her. I'll be like, hallelujah. Oh, nice to meet you. I don't say it in an audible voice, but I feel it in my spirit. But then there are other couples I meet, and God's like, you see that? That's my fingerprints. I made that happen. Hallelujah. And I'll just be real. There are couples like that. Hallelujah. And if you're one of those couples that just married whoever, I bless you. Because God can still turn that all for good. Marriage is for keeps, by the way. Just because you found out, oh, this is whoever, I'm out. No, you can't do that. You cannot do that. But the truth is, not everybody follows God's perfect will for their marriage. It's a hard thing to wait on the Lord. Because God wasn't like, he prophesied and then 2 years later, here she is. Man, I have to wait a long time. I have to wait and hope and wait and hope. Is she it? God's like, no, wait. Is she it? No. Wait. Hallelujah. God makes known the end from the beginning that we may hope in him and wait upon his plans. That's why God does it. God's like, don't sell out. Don't compromise. I got this great plan for your life. Those talents and gifts I've given you, those talents and gifts I've given you, with that mind I've given you, with the opportunities I've given you, the education I've given you, the musical talents I've given you, the preaching fire I've given you, I put them there for a purpose. I have a plan, and I want you to be involved in that plan. So don't you compromise. Don't you quit now. I want you to stay in faith. I know it's hard, but you stay in faith. Do not give up. And those who hope in the Lord, Isaiah 40 says, will renew their strength. Hallelujah. They will soar on wings like eagles. Hallelujah. Those who do not compromise, but they stay in faith. They don't just flutter. They fly. I believe I can fly. Woo! I believe I can touch the sky. Hallelujah. Think about it every night and day. God wants you to soar. Hallelujah. But you will not soar unless you're waiting on him and his plans. Because he knows what is best for you. Amen? They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Hallelujah. You know, some people get married because they're just like, man, I'm tired. I'm just tired. Let me just marry somebody. Will you marry me? Okay, all right, let's do it. They're tired. They're tired. But those who hope in the Lord, they renew their strength. And I'm, like, oh, I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of waiting. But I'm hoping the Lord. Oh, new strength, new strength, new strength. You continue to wait on His plans for you. Hallelujah. Even in your old age, God has a good plan. Even if you're gray-haired, God has a good plan. Look in, this is a little bonus I'm going to throw in. Isaiah 46, look at verse 4. Isaiah 46, 4 says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Even in your old age, God will sustain you and He will carry you out to His plans for your life. You know what? The best is still yet to come. Your best days, your blessed days, they're still ahead of you, no matter how old you are. You know what? Certain people, they start following God's perfect will later in their life. It could be after even a divorce. And some people might, people in the church will just, you know, like, they will judge them and say, you're divorced? How could you? You're a Christian. How could you be divorced? And they feel so much judgment that their view on their future is very low. I'm telling you, some people follow God's perfect will later in life. But hallelujah. It's never late to do right. Amen? When you start following God's plans, even when you're gray hair, you start following God's perfect will for your life, your best days, your blessed days, they're still ahead of you. Even after a divorce, you can still enjoy a great marriage if you will wait upon the Lord. That's what Ruth did. She got widowed. She lost her husband. Hallelujah. But she saw that waiting upon the Lord meant following her mother-in-law. And she followed her mother-in-law. And she met Boaz. Hallelujah. She's like, Bo, he's so strong. Bo's old, but he keeps some weights up. He keeps working out. And Bo, man, he's so strong. And Bo, hallelujah. And God opened up the door for her to marry Bo. Brothers and sisters, God makes known the end from the beginning so that you will wait upon Him. Look at Abraham. God gave him a promise. He made known the end from the beginning. I will bless you. I'll make you into a great nation. And Abraham's like, I got no children. And God's like, don't worry. I will make known the end from the beginning. You continue to wait upon me. And Abraham almost copped out. And you know what? In a way, he did cop out. In God's grace, God still kept on His best plans. He copped out with Ishmael. He was like, God, you're taking too long. It's my 99th birthday and you still didn't show up. We don't got Viagra right now. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be a pastor that everyone can embrace. So I'm trying to smile more. I know this haircut messed me up a little bit. Please give me some more grace. All right, take back that. Let's delete that from the podcast. Yeah, and Abraham's getting frustrated, and he was about to give, and you know what? He compromised. And so he hooked up with his servant girl. And he had Ishmael. And Abraham's like, God, you're taking too long. Let me help you out. Right? God don't need no help. God just needs obedience. Hallelujah. Wait. He makes known the end from the beginning so that you will wait upon Him. And last, fourth reason is to strengthen His people to persevere. Oh, hallelujah. You need to hear this, every one of you right now. He makes known the end from the beginning to call you, to strengthen you, to persevere. You know, if you didn't know about your future, if you didn't have a vision, if you don't have a dream about your future, you need to get one. You need to really ask God for one. You know why? Because when times get tough, there will be nothing to strengthen you to persevere unless you know the end from the beginning. You see, Joseph was a very young man. He was just a ruddy little teenager. But God made known to Joseph the end from the beginning. And God gave Joseph this message about the future. And it was in a hidden form. When it comes in a dream, usually it's in a hidden form. And it showed these 11 stalks bowing down to him. 11 or 12, even his father was bowing down to him. And in this dream, he had this dream, and he interpreted the dream, and he interpreted it correctly. But you know what? He shouldn't have told his brothers. But he told his brothers. And his brothers were like, man, you little shaky. What? Who you think you are? You're the youngest one right now. You think you're gonna, you know, Benjamin's still, I don't know if he was even born yet. Benjamin's like a little baby. Joseph was Benjamin's real brother. All the other 10 brothers, they were half brothers. Right? And they were like, you know what? Yeah. You got them dreams? Oh, yeah, come over here. Come on here. Hey, Joseph, come on, come play with us. And Joseph is the youngest one. He's trying to fit in. Hey, Hungs, yeah. Hey, catch this football over here, all right? I'm going to throw Otter over there. Okay, yeah. Go, long. Falls into a pit. I don't know if that's what they did. They didn't have football back then. There's something. They put him in the pit, and they beat him up, and they were like, let's kill him. They were about to kill him. And God in his grace, remember, his purpose will stand. Moved upon the heart of his oldest brother, Reuben. I was like, hey, y'all, let's not do this. Right? And so his plan was to save Joseph out of there and bring him back to his father. But then the other brothers were like, all right, yeah, you're right. Let's not do this. Is Reuben gone? All right, Reuben gone. All right. Yo, let's go ahead and sell him. Let's make some money off of this. More money. They sell Joseph off to Egypt as a slave. Now, you got to think of yourself in Joseph's shoes. If he knew nothing about his future, do you think he would survive through the experiences that he did? He got sold as a servant, as a slave. Then after that, God prospered him. Hallelujah. Because the favor of the Lord, nothing can hold the favor of the Lord back. Amen. I can hold it down. Amen. The blessings of God, they just bubble up. Hallelujah. And then he got framed for rape. Ends up in jail. He's in jail not for 1 year. He's there for a while. And during that time, what do you think gave him the strength to persevere? It was that God made known to him the end from the beginning. That's what made Joseph persevere. He held on to that dream and said, God, I don't know why I'm in this dungeon. This is so hard down here. I'm not even eating right. I'm getting sick all the time. But God, I remember the dream that you gave me. And I will not forfeit that dream. I'm going to wait upon that dream. Hallelujah. And it gave him the strength to persevere. Brothers and sisters, each of you need something like that. You need to know the visions of God for your life. You might not know the full picture, but you need to get at least a glimpse. Hallelujah. Because that's going to strengthen you in the hour of testing to persevere. A people without vision perish. That's why we have the book of Revelation. Because in the end days, there will come tribulation. You know, there's a doctrine that says we're going to get raptured up. There's a pre-tribulation rapture belief, right? If you read the Left Behind books or you watched the Kirk Cameron movie, okay, you know that there's a lot of people that believed in the pre-trib rapture. It's getting more popular, okay? Personally, I don't believe in that. Pre-tribulation rapture says that before the tribulation, which is before the millennium of Christ's reign. Wait, you guys are over here. Millennium, tribulation, they believe the rapture happens before the tribulation. That God loves his people enough, or that God is so gracious to his people that he will spare them from the tribulation. I don't believe that. And once again, I want to bless you on your journey to come to your own conclusions. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, I believe that God's people are going to go through the tribulation, and God's grace is going to persevere them through their tribulation. And they will share in the glory of God. They will reign with Christ because of the obedience that will come forth. The kind of obedience that the saints have never seen before is going to come forth. Because glory of the latter house is supposed to be greater. That means the obedience of the latter-day believers will be even greater than the obedience of Apostle Paul. That's the kind of outpouring That's the kind of hardships that's going to come. Hallelujah. And God gave us the book of Revelation to make known the end from the beginning, so that when those tribulations come, I believe that he gave it to us so that we will persevere. You see, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you heard, but the fight is fixed. We already know the outcome because God has made it known to us. We simply need to obey and persevere. Hallelujah. Those are the four reasons, I think, why God makes known the end from the beginning. And with this, I want to close that there should be no despair for the people of God. Because God is a God who makes known the end from the beginning. God is not fickle. Okay. There's no despair that the people of God should live under. Jesus told his disciples about his coming death and resurrection before it happened. He did that. Why? He said, don't let your hearts be troubled when these things happen. You know, and most of the times, when he would tell the disciples weren't listening. They weren't. They were fighting about who's going to be the greatest because they thought Jesus would be a political king. He said, look, we're this close to Jerusalem. I'm about to go in that place. I'm going to get crucified. The Son of Man going to get crucified. That's me, by the way. And I'm going to die. Third day, I'm going to be raised to life. And Peter's like, no, Jesus! This will never happen to you. And Peter was like, he was a fighter. He was a rough dude. His hands were all calloused. He was a fisherman. He said, I ain't going to let nobody touch you. You're the king. And Jesus is like, get behind me, Satan. And Peter's like, huh? Jesus, you're joking again, right? You do not have in mind the things of man, the things of God, but the things of man. You see, God was making known the end from the beginning. You see, even though the disciples initially did not understand when Jesus was crucified, they eventually started to see the words of Jesus come to life. And they start to believe that indeed, Jesus had already told them that he will be crucified and raised to life. So even when they saw the resurrection, even when they start to see the resurrection, it was still hard for them to believe. But it was because Jesus made known the end from the beginning that they start to believe. They start to believe. They start to put their trust, their full trust in the Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, God is a God who makes known the end from the beginning. There should be no surprises for the people of God. There should be no surprises for the people of God. If there's a famine coming to this land, that shouldn't surprise this church. You know why? Because God says in the book of Amos, God does nothing without first revealing it first to his prophets. Right? If our church moves in the prophetic giftings, there should be nothing in this church, nothing that will happen to this nation, nothing that will happen in the city that will surprise us. Right? That's what happened to Daniel. God made known the end from the beginning, right? Through Daniel's interpretations of the king's dreams, right? Through Joseph's interpretation, they were able to prepare for the famine. In the book of Acts, the prophets predict the famine, and the church was able to prepare for that. Brothers and sisters, God is a God who makes known the end from the beginning. His will is a mystery, but it does not have to remain a mystery. For the people that will seek his face, surely they will know the end from the beginning. And they will cast down all idols. And they, hallelujah, I gotta look at my notes, will call, they will get involved, they will hope in the Lord, and they will persevere in a time of testing. Let's pray. Let me take this time and I want to invite every one of you, ask God to reveal his will to you. Whether it's a lifetime vision that you still have no idea what my lifetime vision and purpose is. You know, it's the most torturous thing to live on this earth and not know what your purpose is. But I'm telling you today, God knows what your purpose is. He created you. And all you got to do is ask him. And he'll begin to give you glimpses of that purpose. Or perhaps you have an idea of what your vision and your purpose is, but you don't know the details of the immediate future. Well, ask God. Lord, reveal your will to me, Lord. You see, the problem is not that God does not speak. The problem is that we don't listen. Brothers, this is my invitation to you today. Is call upon the God who is sovereign, who makes known the end from the beginning. And as he reveals his will to you, get involved with what he's doing. Wait upon him. Hallelujah. Find your strength to persevere. For surely his purpose will stand. And there is no despair for the people of God. Only hope. Faith. Hallelujah. All right, you guys can pray. Just pray on your own time. Hallelujah. Pray right now. I mean, pray right now. Hallelujah. In your own way. Hallelujah.